is an unrehearsed interview with Bonnie Grant Lashbrook of Mason County, Kentucky, on July 25, 1988. The interviewer is Lynn David.
You were telling me you were born at Pleasant Valley?
Yes, Pleasant Valley, Kentucky, in Nicholas County.
Is that a town or is that a...
Well, it was a small community. At the time I was born, I'd say there was about 11 houses and a country store that served as a railroad station. The train used to stop there and leave the mail and pick up passengers.
What was your dad, what did he do?
My dad was a farmer.
And his name was?
And his name was Albert Sidney Vaughn. My mother was Nellie Snap Vaughn.
And were they both from Nicholas County?
Yes, or? They were both born in Nicholas County.
And we have some Snaps in around Mays Lick, don't we now?
I believe Snap? There is a Snap family.
Yeah. Are they related to you? Or?
No.
Your dad was named for Albert Sidney Johnson?
Yes, a Civil War general.
Was his father, were they alive when you were growing up?
No, I don't remember my grandparents on my father's side. They were both dead when I was born. But I do remember my
mother. Your mother's grandparents?
Yes.
What were their names?
Nancy Josephine Thomas Snap and Jacob Snap.
What were they like?
My grandmother was the grandmotherly type with her hair on top of her head in a little knot, and she liked to tell stories, and my grandfather was a farmer.
What kind of stories did your grandmother tell?
I was thinking about my interest in the Civil War, and she always told a lot of interesting Civil War stories. And I also had a neighbor, Aunt Rhody and Uncle Quillumphrey, as they called them. And he was a great fisherman. And Aunt Rhody was just full of ghost stories about the Civil War. I remember this one particular one that she used to tell about, that her father used to tell her when she was growing up in West Virginia. They'd hear this wagon coming down the road, and it would get closer and closer, but the wagon would never appear. She always said that her father said that it was a supply wagon carrying supplies to the Confederate troops.
So they were staunch Confederates, probably.
Right.
The whole family.
I thought that most of my family were staunch Confederates also, but I learned a couple of years ago that my great-great-grandfather served on the Union side. There was a story in the Lexington Herald about his widow, and stated the fact, I believe, that she was the last surviving widow of the Civil War, and that she could never draw a veteran's pension due to the fact that he was a Union soldier.
What was her name?
Her name was Addie Hunt.
And his name
in Nicholas County.
What was his name?
Harper Hunt.
Harper.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You remember any of the other stories your grandmother or the neighbor told Aunt Rhody?
About the Civil War.
Anything they told. You said something about earlier when we were talking about cameos.
Oh yes, I said I thought the thing that made me so interested in the Civil War was the stories that Aunt Rhody, my grandmother, used to tell. I have this one particular antique pin that my grandmother gave me that had belonged to a lady that that lived during the Civil War era. And then I can remember my father-in-law, Peter Lashbrook, telling the story of William Lashbrook, who fought all through the war on the Confederate side and was on his way home and near Mount Sterling, Kentucky, was killed by a bushwhacker.
Was he on horseback or foot or?
I would say he was on horseback.
They never did find out who did it or why?
No, there was never any
who was it that was killed? Do you know the name?
William Lashbrook was the one's name that was killed.
Who did he serve with?
I'm not sure about that, only that he was on the Confederate side.
That'd be a shame, wouldn't it?
To fight through the war and then be killed. I have an interesting little story. I've been collecting antiques for years, and the first item I bought was this old bed that came from the Nell Grant estate. They were supposed to have been related to the Ulysses S. Grant family. Then many years later, my husband bought an old clock from Mr. Harry Lee's estate, and they were supposed to have been related to the Robert E. Lee's. So I put the bed and the clock in the same bedroom, and I always like to say that after 100 years, the North and the South were united.
Oh, shoot. You were telling me about your grandmother. Did they live with you, your grandparents, or did they live?
No, they lived about 3 miles to my grandmother's house, and we always spent Christmas there. I used to think when I was a little girl, I would love to spend Christmas Day at home sometime, but we always had to go to and play with my toys.
Yeah.
I grew up in the Depression. I was born in 1929. Grew up in the Depression years, but I had a wonderful childhood. Never felt deprived. I can remember the school at Pleasant Valley. It was a wonderful little community, and I can still smell the wood smoke and the country ham frying in the evenings.
You say it was a little one-room schoolhouse?
Uh-huh, right. That's where I started school.
You remember any of your teachers?
My teacher was Miss Ethel Purcell, and my second teacher was her sister, Miss Catherine Purcell. They were both in Nicholas County.
How many kids were in your classes, do you remember?
I can't remember the exact number, but...
Not very many?
No.
Did you...
We went there until 1937, and the 1937 flood just about destroyed Pleasant Valley as we knew it. Fleming Creek and Licking River came through there and almost destroyed the whole community.
It
took the school, it ruined my family's home.
Do you remember the flood then?
Oh, I remember the flood well.
Did you all have enough warning to get out of here?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. But I can remember riding out in a boat. Right. Well, we weren't there, but I can remember riding from one neighbor's house to the other in the boat, and I thought that was great. And then I can remember Mr. Lacey Mitchell and his family that lived on a higher elevation. They took care of I don't know how many families in the valley during the 37 flood.
How long were you had to be away from your home?
I don't remember, time when you were a child.
Well, that's true. You saw it as an adventure then?
Yes.
More than
mm-hmm.
a tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
Did your folks lose a lot of their possessions in the flood, or were they able to get those out?
They moved most of the things upstairs, and we saved quite a few things. Of course, some things were destroyed.
Mm-hmm. Now, after they closed the one-room schoolhouse, where did you go to school?
Went to Myers School. That was between Pleasant Valley and Carlisle.
Was that a consolidated school?
Right. Mm-hmm.
They were consolidating a lot of the schools around here. Was that a later consolidation?
No, that was one of the first that I can recall.
Did you ride a school bus, or did your dad take you in?
I rode a school bus. I can remember, speaking of the school bus, I can remember one cold winter day. It came this awful sleet, and they turned school out early. And George Campbell and I walked from Myers to Pleasant Valley. It was maybe 2 to 3 miles. We fell every other step, but we thought it was great, It didn't bother us.
Nice to be young.
Yes, that's right.
You said you went to your grandmother's for the holidays. How did you all celebrate the holidays at your grandmother's?
I had two uncles that were in Detroit at that time. They were In fact, they spent most of their adult life in Detroit. And they would come home on holidays, maybe not as much as Christmas time, as Memorial Day and Labor Day. That was a great time.
Those were bigger holidays, really?
They weren't bigger, but bigger family holidays, mm-hmm. I would say, because the whole family would be there.
Did you have any traditional dishes you ate at the different
oh,
holidays?
Oh, yes. Country ham, turkey, scalloped oysters, jam cakes.
Oh, gosh, I love the jam cakes.
I do.
When you said you were, I know we keep jumping back and forth, but you were talking about your grandmother and some of the stories. Did she tell ghost stories like Aunt Rhoda, or did she just tell you stories about when she was a little girl?
Mostly stories when she was a little girl. And we had another neighbor that ran the store up on the hill that would tell a lot of ghost stories too. Her name was Miss Sally Dayton, and she was a wonderful person. Mm-hmm. I can remember not so much one of the stories, but concerned me personally. My mother had left me with a neighbor, and the neighbor sent me to the store with this quarter, and she said, would you get me change for a quarter? Well, on the way to the store, I lost the quarter. I went on, and I called Mrs. Dayton, Aunt Dady. I said, would you give me change for a quarter and charge it to me?
Okay, that's a good way of doing it.
She gave me the change for a quarter and charged it to me. And the next day, I took her the quarter. My daddy gave me the quarter, and I took to her, but we found it on the way.
Oh. You were an astute businesswoman.
Right.
How old were you when that happened?
Oh, probably 7.
70?
Maybe.
That's pretty sharp for a 70.
7 or 8, maybe. No more than that.
What kind of store was this? Was it?
Oh, it was just the typical country store that served as the railroad station. And I can remember the candy showcase and the pot-bellied stove and typical country store.
The sit right on the railroad tracks?
Set right on the railroad track.
Mm-hmm. So did the owner of the store then double as a station agent too, or?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, what if you wanted to get on that train? How did?
The train would stop.
It stopped.
Uh-huh.
Whatever.
Uh-huh. We'd go to Carlisle just about every Saturday on the train. I can remember circus trains coming through there too when I was a little girl, and the cattle trains, and I'd hear the cattle and think. They'd left their mommy, and that would make me sad.
Oh, that is sad.
Yeah.
But they had the old steam engines and the old coal-driven steam engines.
Coal engine. And steam, yeah. I think.
What train line went through there?
L&N.
Uh-huh. You were telling me when we were talking, too, about toys and grave sites. Could you tell me more about
yes.
that?
Oh, yes. I was telling you about the marbles. My aunt, well, this used to be a custom when children died that the parents put toys on their graves. And, of course, I was a collector of marbles, and she had put this sulfide marble on the baby's grave. And we used to decorate these graves on Memorial Day. And I can remember digging around that monument thinking I would find that sulfide marble.
Well, what is sulfide?
A sulfide marble is those, it's clear glass, and it had the little white animals inside. Sort of looks like today's paperweights. They were beautiful things.
Were they very big?
Let's see, maybe.
Big as a dollar.
3 inches.
That's a good size.
Uh-huh. They were as big as a silver dollar, maybe. Some might have been a little bigger, some might have been a little smaller.
You say this, putting the graves on, toys on the graves was typical then around this area? Or?
I'd say in the, probably the early 1900s it was. Not not when I was a child, but my aunt's children were quite a bit older than me, and that probably was like 1904 or 5, I would say, even that late, they were still doing that. And I can remember as a child Floyd and Perry Stanfield telling these stories about this old graveyard at Cowan, back of Cowan, that there was toys on some of the graves.
Say what kind of toy? I mean, we know about the marble. What?
I don't know whether it was, I can't remember.
Yeah.
What type of toys they said. I would say maybe a china doll or for the girls, and marbles for the boys. That I think was the main type of toy that they played with.
You said that you grew up in the Depression era and that it didn't really affect you. Was this because your family?
Well, it wasn't the fact that we had that much, but my dad was a veteran, and he received a pension, so that was a steady income. He also had his farm, and we raised our own vegetables and things. We always seemed to have plenty.
Was he a veteran, what, of World War One then?
World War One, and he also served in the Philippine Insurrection. In the Spanish-American War.
Oh, he did?
Right.
Did he ever talk about either one of those in it?
Oh, yeah. Well, some, but it was kind of a thing that he didn't like to talk about too much. I think the Spanish-American and the Philippine Insurrection was pretty bad.
You know what he did during
no.
both of those?
No, I don't remember that either.
Was he overseas during the
yes,
war?
Yes, he was in the Philippines. And I'm not sure. I'm not sure that he was overseas during World War One. My uncles were in France, but I'm not sure about Daddy.
But he, like a lot of them, just didn't really want to save too much.
Right. It seemed that way.
Yeah. What kind of man was your dad?
Oh, he was an easygoing, liked to smoke a pipe, and he farmed. He was not one to go too much. He liked to stay at home. And I can remember our farm was back across the hill, and I used to sit out there at night and wait for him to come home, and I can hear the whippoorwills.
Mm.
We don't have any in Mason County. I miss them.
I miss whippoorwills,
mm-hmm.
too. What kind of crops did he farm?
Tobacco, corn.
Did he use a tractor? Or
no, he didn't have a tractor. He had a horse and plow.
One horse is what he
had? Mm-hmm. One horse.
So that made a lot of work for him.
Oh my, yes.
Did he continue to farm then?
Well, he died in 1945. So I was only 15 at the time,
yeah.
16. So I think that's why my memory's there.
What did your mom do after your father died? Did she stay on the farm? Or?
No, we moved to Maysville. That's when we came to Maysville in the 40s. And her first job was at Ryan's Meat Packing. Then she worked at Walls for a while. And then I graduated and I went to work for South Central Bell. And then I married Tom Lashbrook. And then she lived with us and kept house. And we worked and made the living.
What did she do for the packing company? You remember?
No, not really.
She kept you two together, though, and
right.
kept everything
mm-hmm.
going
mm-hmm.
for you. What kind of woman was your mom?
Oh, great, great.
Well, sure, she was great.
She was the type that was interested in everything. She liked to do needlework, and She liked to read. She liked to sew. She made most of my clothes and did for years. I can still remember the pleated skirts she made.
Oh, those are hard to
mm-hmm.
make.
I can remember when I was a senior in high school, I saw this outfit in Henley's window. She went down and looked at it and went home and made me one.
Hey, that's...
She was that type.
Yeah, accomplished seamstress.
Right, uh-huh. She was the type that could do anything. She could adjust.
Was she an open woman? Did she ever talk about growing up herself or what it was like?
Yes. Well, she was born in Nicholas County, but it was near headquarters. And
headquarters, that's a lot.
In Creighton, in Nicholas County. And, of course, I think I said before, my grandfather was a farmer. Mm-hmm. And their lifestyle was probably pretty much the same. In that era, there wasn't that great change like there was after World War II. Life was pretty much the same, I think, from 1900 till about through the 30s and up until the 40s.
How'd she meet your dad?
They went to church together at Pleasant Valley.
Wow.
That's another interesting story to the valley, the church at the valley. I can remember my uncle, Willie Hammonds, preached there, and Mr. Webster Briggs, and it was just a little country church with a great lifestyle.
What denomination was it?
Church of God. First Church of God.
So everybody in the valley
went to that church.
Church.
Right.
So the social life of the valley pretty well revolved around the church as well?
The church and the school. There was pie suppers and ice cream suppers at the school. I have a vague recollection of them.
What kind of social occasions at the church did they have? Or
not too much, not anything greatly social, because they were kind of a group that didn't believe in a lot of things that other churches do. They were a little restricted in things that they would do.
Did you feel restricted as a young woman?
Not so much, but I had these pangs of whether things are right or wrong, you know.
Yeah, I think we all
when you grow up in a church like that, you do. It sticks with you.
Did the children of the neighborhood get together to play, or did
oh,
you
yes.
pretty well stay on your own farms? Or
there were several families in the valley that had children, and we played together, marbles and things like that, and then Mother and Daddy would play games with me at home. I was always a child that was taught to entertain myself, and I read a lot, and they would play games with me.
What kind of games?
Tiddlywinks, Chinese checkers, old maids, authors.
So your family life was really close then, wasn't
right.
it? I mean, you spent a lot of there. You were. You told me you were an only child.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So you got a lot of attention.
Yes, mm-hmm. I did.
Did you do any work on the farm?
No. My daddy wouldn't allow it.
Did your mom help any? Or?
No. She didn't either. Mm-mm.
Did he have anybody to help him?
No. He did most of it himself.
How big a farm did he have?
It was about 50 acres.
That's a lot of acres
mm-hmm.
to take care of all by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You said you're talking about World War II. Do you remember?
Oh, I still have memories of that. That just seems like yesterday.
Do you know what you all were doing when Pearl Harbor?
In more recent times, I can remember Pearl Harbor Day like it was yesterday. The day that Franklin Delano Roosevelt addressed the nation on the day after Pearl
Harbor.
What did
you think when you heard that?
Oh, I wondered. I was so young that it didn't make the impression that it would today. But I can remember a few years later, when he died in April. I was a senior in high school, and I can remember walking home from school that afternoon, and I was passing Jack Kirk's store. And
no, that was in Maysville?
Right. They were telling on the radio that President Roosevelt had died, and I can remember the thought that went through my mind, what will happen to us now?
Yeah. Do you remember when they dropped the bomb on
yes, when Truman made the decision, yes. Yeah.
I think
he made the right decision. I think it was the only thing he could do.
Do the people around here pretty much feel the same way?
It seems that most of my neighbors felt that way.
They just had no doubts at all. That
right.
That
it was the thing to do. You have to think of the lives that he, of course it took life, but you have to consider the lives that it saved.
Were you affected a lot? I mean, did a lot of the people you know have to serve in World War II, or was it more remote from you?
Oh no, it was close. I went to school with Franklin Sousley, that helped raise the flag on Iwo Jima, and he was a nice, freckle-faced boy, and I can still remember his smile. And my cousins served, and no, it was close.
So you
and even children that I went to school with, that I was in high school with, served.
So you were very much
my
caught
husband,
up into what was
right.
going on.
I didn't meet my husband until after the war.
Mm-hmm. How did you meet your husband? You said you worked for the telephone company as an operator or in the office?
I worked as an operator for a couple of years, and then I was chief operator clerk or central office clerk, made out schedules and payrolls and that sort of office work. One of the girls that I worked with took me on a blind date and that's introduced me to my husband.
Turned out right, huh?
Yes, sure did.
Did you have any hesitation about going on the blind date?
No, not with her. She was engaged to his brother and he was always tagging along on the dates with them, so I think she kind of wanted to get him out of the way, so she took me along.
She got him out of the way, didn't
right.
she?
She sure did.
When were you all married then, after that?
1946, Thanksgiving Day, 1946.
Had you had the blind date before he went to service? Or?
No, this was after he came back.
Where
the war was over then.
Where did he serve during the war?
In Europe, Anzio and France.
So he saw a lot of.
Yes.
You know, what did he do in the military?
Well, he was in the Army, but I don't remember. I don't know that he ever said what his specific
duties were.
A few years ago, they printed this picture in the paper 40 years ago today. It was 1983, in fact, and the picture was taken in 1943, and it showed all the boys at the depot, and he was one that was in the group that went, Gene Tonkery, George Weber, and Tom, Donnie Root. There was a lot of Mason County boys that
served.
Uh-huh.
How did the women?
And they all stayed together.
That's unusual, isn't it? How did you help during the war? I mean, I know you had your job with the telephone company, but did you do any volunteer work during the war at all?
No. See, I was in high school at the time. From 1941 to 1945, I was in high school. And I can't recall doing any volunteer work.
Now, VJ Day then.
VJ Day.
What happened?
Well, I can remember going down the street, and Mr. and Ms. Nick Gollenstein were sitting out in their yard, and they had these twin boys, Bill, and they had lost one of their twin sons, but I can't remember what the other one's name was. And I can remember their sad faces yet. And then we went on downtown. There was a lot of excitement. It was just a great day.
So VJ Day, everybody went wild. Well, Roosevelt had died.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How did the people around here feel about Roosevelt's death? Did they look on him as a great leader, or was there mixed emotions? Or?
Well, I think most of the people thought he was pretty great because we had just come through the Depression era. He had started the New Deal, and I think at that time most people thought Roosevelt was great. I think a lot of people probably had thoughts as to whether Truman could carry on in his footsteps, but I think he did a super job.
Was Truman very well known before Roosevelt's death? Most vice presidents are in the shadow, that's what I'm...
No, I would say not. I don't... well, I can remember the fact that he was vice president, but kind of like today, more or less in the shadows.
When you're talking about presidents, I usually ask people, because where were you when you heard that Kennedy had been shot?
I was at my desk, and the phone rang, and Mary Ellen Byron said, Bonnie, President Kennedy has just been shot. I couldn't believe it, you know. So we went out and turned on the television and listened to see what we could hear. And then I called home, and Tom turned on the TV or the radio. And it was just an unbelievable thing.
Now, you were living here in Maysville, Mason County.
Yes.
Uh-huh. How did the people around react when they heard that Kennedy was shot? Was it like when Roosevelt had died, or?
Well, there was a difference, because I think President Roosevelt died a natural death, and with President Kennedy, it was such a horrible thing and so unnecessary. People couldn't believe that that would happen in this country, you know, it was just in an American city. It was an unbelievable thing. It was just...
And again, you didn't know what the vice president...
That's true.
Yeah.
How he would carry on. What the outcome would be.
Someone around our age, I can always ask them, you know, Pearl Harbor, and Kennedy, and, you know, those are dates, unfortunately, for good and bad reasons, seem to stand out with people. Growing up in this area, have you seen a lot of changes, say, like even in the farming methods, from what they used to be when you were
little? When I was a child, all they had was the horse and plow. Now everything is so modernized with the tractor. I've seen a lot of changes in my lifetime.
How about the people? Have you seen them?
Oh my, yes. There's a change.
Can you tell me?
I think the young people of today have their good points as far as back in the 50s and 60s, when it was so much rebellion and all. I think the idea was good.
What idea?
That they didn't approve of materialism and this sort of thing. But I think they've come to realize that their parents had some pretty good ideas after all.
Do you think that this area is has prospered and changed for the better than it
was?
Oh,
yes, definitely. There's so many changes. We see the new roads, and now the AA highway, and the road to Lewisburg, and because some of the older folks would come back, like Tom's grandparents and all, they wouldn't believe the changes and the shopping center out on 68. And
what about places though, like Pleasant Valley?
They're kind of like Margaret Mitchell's Southland. They're gone with the wind. I went back a few years ago, and you would never believe that there was a nice little community there at one time after the 37 flood. It just changed things, and now it's just gone to pot. And there's very few houses in the valley anymore.
Did a lot of them not move back then after the flood, or?
Oh, they moved back, but they soon moved away.
Just didn't want to take a risk of it happening again.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So really, you'd say as far as Pleasant Valley went, then the community broke up
right.
with the flood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the beginning of the end.
Yeah.
As far as.
No one was hurt or killed, were they?
No.
Yet? When they talk about the 37 flood, you hear Cincinnati, you hear
mm-hmm.
Maysville, but you don't hear about the smaller communities.
Right.
Was that something that was typical of a lot of them, that we lost a lot of the little communities?
Oh, I think so.
Due to the flood?
Yes.
Flood. Was the store wiped out completely, or did it?
Oh, no. The store was up on the hill above the valley. The railroad tracks were kind of up out of the valley area, and it wasn't affected by the flood at all.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
You were telling me that they sold a little bit of everything down there. Did you? What was your favorite thing in the store?
Well, I would go to the store every day and buy candy. And at the end of the week, I would take 2 eggs to pay for it.
Did
and a candy bar was a nickel in those days. Maybe I told you that before.
Uh-huh. Did the other kids take eggs to pay for their candy too, or?
Yes, I'm sure they did.
2 eggs would give you a week's worth of candy.
A week's worth of candy, probably a penny's worth of candy in those days was, you know, quite a bit. A nickel bar was a big candy bar. But I like those penny guess whats because they had those little prizes in them.
Penny what?
Guess they were called guess whats. They'd have little peanut butter kisses. I didn't like that candy near as well, but due to the fact that it had that little prize in there and I could keep that, I still have that. I think that's what started me on the old toys and the miniatures and the Cracker Jack collections and all that.
I never heard of penny guess whats.
Oh, you didn't?
Uh-uh. Did they come in a box like Cracker Jacks?
No, they were wrapped in a little piece of pink or blue, thinner than construction paper, and they'd have 2 kisses and the prize inside.
And do they have as good a prize as Cracker Jacks?
About the same.
Probably got it from the same place.
Right. Some little metal toys like rocking horses, whistles, and sometimes I have 2 little vases that came from a guess what or a Cracker Jack, and little tin or metal snapping bugs.
Yeah.
And
a
lot of neat
bugs.
Little toys.
Yeah. A friend of mine had told me about, on your husband's side of the family, there was a lady named Molly Ashbrook.
Lashbrook. Right.
Could you tell me the story of Molly? What?
Well, of course, it's been passed down from generation to generation, but I remember hearing the story as a child, and of course it was a racial thing, and I can remember the thought going through my mind, I sure would never want to be involved with that family, because I would be afraid. I would think maybe that the black people would still remember and have it in for me. And what happens? I turn around and marry a Lashbrook.
What was the story?
Well, as well as I can remember, she was a young wife at the time. We still have her picture. She was a beautiful lady. In fact, I have her bracelets And she went home from town one day. This was, I don't know whether it was 1900 or 1901, long about there. And they had this black boy that worked for them. His name was Dick Coleman. And anyway, the story goes that she walked to the wash house and he attacked her, raped her, and killed her. Then there was so much bitterness against Coleman that they took him to Covington. And he was in jail down there for a time. And then they brought him back to Maeswan, CNO Railroad. And there was a mob that they weren't supposed to know the time that the train was coming in. Anyway, a mob met the train and they tarred and feathered him.
Did they kill him?
Burned him.
Mm-hmm. Where did this take place?
They say that he got off the train down at the CNO depot, which is in the west end of Maeswan, and they brought him up to where the old L&N station is. Now that's on Keyhole Viaduct.
Yeah. Okay. So, and where was the home place where all of this took place?
Out on Taylor's Mill Road, I think that. Billy and Alma Ruth Cobb live there now.
Did they ever have a reason for what happened? Or?
No. They said that I can remember my father-in-law saying that his father had told them that they didn't like the way that he acted and that they should not keep him around. He was a houseboy, help with the work, and but that's as much as I know.
Yeah. Well, I'd heard the story from others. You know, I was curious about mm-hmm. it, but it happened later than I thought it did. So it was in the early 1900s.
I think it was 1899. It was either 1899 or 1900, along in there.
Before the Civil War, the Lashbrook family,
they owned,
were large slaveholders,
yes,
in
they
Mason
were.
County,
mm-hmm.
weren't they?
One of the largest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think when I did some earlier mm-hmm. research, they had more than most
mm-hmm.
of the families.
I don't know whether
had.
There was still resentment. Of course, that had only been like
that many years.
40 years.
Yeah. After the Civil War, did a lot of the slaves stay on the Lashbrook property, or did they, most of them, leave? Do you remember that? Have you ever heard?
I don't think I recall ever asking that question.
Yeah.
I just don't remember.
Didn't know.
Mm-mm. I don't know.
When you were talking about the marbles earlier, don't you like the way we can jump around? You told me something about you used to play with marbles or have marbles.
Oh, yes. That was one of the games that we played when I was a child. I think that's why I like to collect the old marbles. And then my mother-in-law, Lena McDaniel Robinson, told me this story of this old marble that belonged to her brother, Thomas McDaniel. When he was a little boy, he was playing with this marble. Of course, at that time, that marble must have been 100 years old. It probably, I think, an uncle or an aunt had given him the marble. But anyway, he was playing with it, and it went through a hole in the floor. And they tried and tried to get that sulfide marble.
Oh, it was a sulfide marble.
Oh, it was a sulfide, yes. One of the pretty ones. Had a lamb in it, I think. And they never could recover the marble, and I still saw. Think, you know, every time I pass the old farmhouse, I'd love to.
Oh, the house is still standing?
Uh-huh, it's still there. Tom's grandfather, Mr. Uriah McDaniel, owned, that's over on Taylor's Mill also. And I still think I'd like to take up that floor and search for the marble.
I wonder what you'd find. You'd probably find other things besides that marble.
I probably would.
Is that farm still in the family?
No, they've sold it.
Oh, that's a shame.
Mm-hmm. It is.
You
have
do you remember any other stories that were told about your family? Any of the members? Tell me about the wagon coming with the Confederate supplies. Did you ever hear any other stories? Ghost stories or? Most kids in their neighborhoods where they grew up, at least where I came from, have haunted houses. Was there any haunted houses in your neighborhood?
Not really. I can't think of any other ghost stories.
Yeah.
Right off the top of my head.
And you said you and your husband...
I told you about the rock that I picked up in Washington. Didn't I tell you about that? We were in Washington just 3 weeks to the day before President Kennedy was assassinated. I didn't tell you that story. And it was pouring down rain. We'd toured the White House that morning, and we were between the Washington Monument and the Smithsonian. I picked up this what I thought was an interesting little rock, and I dropped it in my pocket. Didn't think any more about it. I brought it home, and after the president was assassinated, I was looking at this rock, and I noticed that it was in the shape of a skull. There was indentations for the eyes and the nose and the mouth. And I thought that was a bad omen.
Yeah, it would have been.
Mm-hmm.
And you remembered it after he was assassinated then, or it's when you looked at it again?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Did you keep it?
Oh yes, I still have it. Kind of a pack rat. I keep most things like that.
Your home reflects that. It's just beautiful.
Thank you.
You're a pack rat. I think you have a certain taste.
Thank you.
Say, you and your husband were married in 1947 then.
No, 46.
46,
mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Right after he came back.
Uh-huh.
And what did your husband do for a living then?
He worked at the Carnation for about 30 years. We're both retired now.
The Carnation plant down in Maysville.
Mm-hmm.
Maysville.
Mm-hmm.
Maysville. Abbreviating it. You've stayed around this area then all your lives.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Throughout. Is there a big change? Kentuckians always talk about counties. You know, you lived from Nicholas County and now you're in Mason County. Do you notice a change between the counties? People-wise or?
There's a difference. Of course, there's a difference. I think there's a, I've said, I think, of course, I wouldn't want the people of Fleming County or Nicholas County to hear me say this, but I believe there's a little bit more polish. There's in Mason. There's a difference.
You do notice a difference.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think so.
Well, Nicholas County, though, is mostly a farming community, isn't
yes,
it? More rural.
Uh-huh.
I mean, their interests are different.
Uh-huh.
Where Mason County is maybe a little more.
I do love Nicholas County.
It's a beautiful county.
The desk
driving through
from which
there.
I came, you know.
Yeah. No, but it's pretty countryside. I like to take drives
mm-hmm.
over there.
I think through Pleasant Valley is a beautiful area.
It sounds so nice,
uh-huh.
Doesn't it?
There's a railroad tunnel. There's two railroad tunnels, and there's a little place called Tunnel Hill. And as you come down Tunnel Hill and look across that valley, I think it's one of the prettiest spots in the country.
I'm going to have to go visit
uh-huh.
it. Now, it's headquarters? You mentioned something
that was in Nicholas County. Now, that's where my mother was born and grew up.
Question. Where did it get the name headquarters?
I have no idea. No idea.
That's an odd...
Mm-hmm.
I don't suppose it's any odder than some other names, but for the name of a town. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The history of Nicholas County might cover that. I don't know.
Well, I'm going to have to go see Pleasant Valley. Exactly where would that be from here?
It's, I'd say, about halfway between Flemingsburg and Carlisle on 32.
So if you stay on 32, I'll go right
mm-hmm.
through Pleasant Valley.
Mm-hmm. Go through Flemingsburg and turn right and go to Eliasville and on through Cowan, Pleasant Valley.
I think maybe this Sunday.
And then Myers.
Take
They're
a trip
all
that
within
way.
About a 3 mile radius there.
So I can get through Pleasant Valley real quick if I'm not careful.
Right.
Is there
you
still a store
there?
There?
No. No, the stores are all gone. You can see where the little railroad station was up on the hill. You can look up and there's a white house up there, and that's where the railroad station was, and then the little church sits up on the hill back of the store.
Did you have any doctors there when you were growing up?
No,
or?
The closest doctor was Dr. Runyon at Ewing.
Runyon is an old name around here, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you.
Dr. Harold Runyon's father.
I really appreciate you talking to me this afternoon.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it.